I'm Gabe Ortiz, afternoon host at WIPR. Federal funding for public radio is under serious threat. An end to that funding would make the live streams like this one more difficult to maintain. Stand up for public media and help fortify WIPR's future. Find out more and donate at WIPR.org. Thank you.
Good afternoon and welcome. Thanks for being with us. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. Glad you are aboard. With a tsunami of executive orders and his one big beautiful bill making its way through Congress, President Donald Trump continues to dramatically change the political and policy landscape of the United States. In the process, he has upended the global world order and abandoned long-standing norms that have been heretofore guided presidential behavior. Elected Democrats have often seemed numb and unable to respond in a coherent and effective way. And in this time of deep-seated political bifurcation, it's difficult for the two sides to have the conversations that will move the needle and lead to consensus. My first guest today has, for the past several years, thought a lot about why that is and what can be done about it. Heather Mazier was a member of the Maryland House of Delegates for 8 years, from 2007 until 2015. She ran unsuccessful races for governor and for the House of Representatives, but she attracted strong support and she learned a lot along the way. She joins me today to talk about her efforts to bridge divisions and how those divisions can often be products of forgetting basic truth about ourselves. Heather Mazier joins me in Studio B. Welcome back. It's good to see you.
Tom, it's always wonderful to be with you in studio. Thanks for the invitation.
Well, thanks for coming. So let's talk about the We Are One Alliance. I do you something of a disservice by sort of framing it in that introduction as a political venture, but this is not a political thing at its heart. It's certainly a nonpartisan organization, but tell us what you have in mind with this new organization.
It is nonpartisan. It's political-ish in at least one of our programs. In 2017, I founded an organization that we called Soul Force Politics, and it was to address the growing polarization in our communities. I really believe that's our greatest national security threat. And through Soul Force Politics, the approach has been teaching how to bring mindful civic engagement into these divisive times. And I took a break a couple years ago when I ran for Congress. I wasn't running the nonprofit organization, I was running for Congress, but I was elevating the platform of Soul Force Politics in how I ran that race. And in the 2 years since that campaign, I percolated on all of the teachings, all that I learned, what examples came forward from this innovative approach to softening these divides and growing a greater heart connection with people who disagree with you.
And let me remind folks, you were running against Andy Harris, the only Republican in the Maryland congressional delegation in the first district, which is includes parts of the Eastern Shore, parts of Baltimore County. I mean, it's
11 counties,
One
of the largest pieces of real estate in the 24 jurisdictions of Maryland.
Yeah, lots to cover. And that's a seat that's been solidly Republican because Democrats years ago gerrymandered it to make sure all the Republicans essentially were crammed into one district so that the other seven seats would likely go Democratic.
And
so it was an uphill climb.
It was an uphill climb, though I started with the possibility that redistricting in that race was going to make the district more balanced and fair, and it did for 3 months. And then there was a, I believe, flawed court opinion that threw that map out, and it went back to the lopsided district with a 60% advantage. That said, we ran efforts to bridge these divisions. I had events that we called Heather in the Hot Seat, where we invited Republicans to house parties, Republican house parties, with no intention that they were necessarily going to support me. Hey, if you wanted to throw me on the grill and roast me for a while, I was there to answer every question you had and to show that there can be a different way. We have to talk to each other again. When I was in middle school, I woke up every morning and I had a flag in my bedroom that I stood in front of and I recited the American's Creed. Yes, I am a giant political geek. Most people are like, I don't even know what the American Creed is. But at the towards the end of the creed, it talks about...
It's different than the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yes, right. It is. I mean, it's not that long. Why don't I just toss it out there?
Sure.
Right? I believe in the United States of America that is a government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed, a democracy in a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states, a perfect union, one inseparable, established upon the principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity, for which American patriots sacrifice their lives and fortunes. And then it goes on to talk about duty to Constitution and obeying laws and protecting the flag. But it's that piece, Tom. The cornerstone for me and everything I've done politically are those four values: freedom, equality, justice, and humanity. And for too long, humanity has been in short supply. So what we're doing is relaunching the organization to not just be Soul Force Politics, but under an umbrella that we call the We Are One Alliance. And under that alliance, we have Soul Force Politics as a program, and we have three new programs we're rolling out as well. And collectively, our mission at this organization is to restore faith in the heart of humanity, one connection at a time.
You talk about answering a person on the other side of the political spectrum, not with a clenched fist, but an open heart. The difficulty there, I think a lot of people encounter initially, is that it seems like we're being accosted with clenched fists.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pacifistic reaction to say we're going to respond to that clenched fist with an open heart. When you did Heather on the Hot Seat, we talked about this when you were running for Congress. I mean, you were there, people just disagreed with you. You're a progressive, they weren't. That was known, you know, right from the top of the evening every time. But is it a matter of persuasion? You know, are you trying to persuade people to come from where they are to where you are? Or is it a matter of just settling, if you will, for lack of a better verb, with understanding?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am first and foremost looking to soften that clenched fist, because that is the crisis that we are in this country right now. Anyone who knows me knows I stand very firm in what I believe in. So I'm not encouraging anyone to loosen their values or not stand up for what they find is really troubling and challenging in our country right now. We have to have that voice. But in our engagements with other people, the connection to each other as people has been lost. We look at someone with just a label now. Are you a Republican? Are you a Democrat? Are you a liberal? Are you a conservative? Are you MAGA? Are you a snowflake? Are you a libtard? I mean, the name calling, the finger pointing, it is what has been the demise of democracy. Isn't just something that happens because there are elected officials who are ignoring democratic norms. The demise of democracy has come as a reflection of how we interact with each other. Politicians who we elect are just a reflection of us. And if we've lost the ability to listen to someone with compassion, with curiosity, with interest, with active listening instead of being ready to jam your talking point down their throat, you don't get anywhere that way. And what I found in an election, as you mentioned, an uphill race in a district that was 60% Republican, I outperformed Joe Biden by 3% in 2022, which means that 3% of Donald Trump's voters in 2020 voted for Heather Mazur in 2022.
And you lost by 11 points, which is the smallest margin that Andy Harris has won an election by in the entire time he's been in Congress. And he's run, what, eight times or something. Most other candidates get in the 20s. You got 43% of the vote. So clearly there were people who were persuaded. And as you say, there were so many people in years past that even refused to have conversations mm-hmm. with those 60% mm-hmm. of the Republicans in that district. They just figure, well, if we get all of our people to come out to vote and only some of their people come out to vote, we'll win. I mean, that was the strategy, such as it was.
Yeah.
So, you know, it should be noted that you made more progress than a lot of other people.
And I think that we can't just measure an election on whether or not you won. Obviously, I'd prefer to have won all the elections I've run. But I've taken on challenging races on purpose because each and every time I've done it, I felt it's a moment where someone needed to stand up and show a different way. And one example I'd love to share with you that has had a ripple effect even in the creation of additional programming now at the We Are One Alliance. I met veterans a lot during the campaign, and one in particular stuck out to me about an exchange. His name's Robert Smith. He's from Hebron in Wicomico County. And he reached out to me flaming mad about a mailer that we sent on what was Andy Harris's voting record against veterans. And he's a veteran. And he's like, I can't believe you. It was laced with all of the aggression that you can expect when current political conversations, when people are in these polarized silos, a little bit of name calling, you can't be trusted, we have a right to burn DC down. I mean, a very aggressive kind of January 6th approach. Now, I could have just completely ignored him or gotten back in his face. And instead, I engaged with him. And I kept looking for where it was that we had connections. Hey, we both grew up on farms. You're a guy who's very proud of your military service. My father fought in Vietnam. My grandfather was a Purple Heart recipient in World War II. Slowly but surely, all the little things that connected us started to melt away the aggression. And at a certain point in the conversation, he pauses and says, you know, you can put up with an old vet like me. I think you got what it takes. And I'm sorry for being such an ass at the beginning of our conversation. And I responded with, Robert, I don't do guilt and shame. I think that's what's gotten us into this place in politics. I don't blame you. Politics has been a lot more about what divides us than what brings us together. And I'm about reminding us what brings us together. And then he has this epiphany and says, I'm a military guy. You're right. That's what military's always been about. And I can't get caught up in all this fighting.
Cohesiveness, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So by the end of the conversation, he's accepting a Republicans for Mazeer sign. But beyond that, he's sharing recipes with me about what he's doing with the bounty from his garden. And he's sharing really important stories with me about the ways in which farming and gardening helps address his trauma from wartime service. And that stuck with me in a really important way that helped us launch one of the new programs under the We Are One Alliance.
Yeah, which is about farming for vets as a therapeutic exercise.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the ripple effect of these kinds of conversations, the joint inspiration that can come. Robert and I text each other almost every week. We're very connected, even if we're not totally aligned on all the things. And while it wasn't my intention to switch his view of the world in that engagement, over time, that's what's happened. And I just think that we can't write anybody off, that we're all deeply hungry to connect with each other. And it is more satisfying, in my opinion, to find that connection with someone you think there's just no possibility. And it's not as hard as somebody would think. You just have to get over yourself, and you have to be willing to dig in with some grand curiosity about how it is somebody thinks the way they do. Not with judgment, truly be curious. I've asked so many people, help me understand this. I really want to know. And then I'll probe them, and then that opens them up to probing me, and you start going down a road that isn't what you expect. And the mystery of the unknown is the juicy part of life.
Heather Mazier is here. She is the founder and director of the We Are One Alliance. You can give us a call if you'd like to be part of our conversation, 410-662-8780, our email midday@wipr.org. And one of the fascinating things that I found as I explored your new website for the We Are One Alliance is you say we need to reframe this moment. Again, resistance is not the clenched fist, but it's the open heart. It's not the frantic fight. It's the steady flame. And then this last part is really intriguing to me. It's not the shattered will. It's the sovereign soul. Mm-hmm. So this notion of sovereignty, individual sovereignty, is a fundamental precept for your philosophy and your approach here. What do you mean by sovereignty of the soul?
Mm. It's not only the most important thing for this moment in this organization. I think it's one of the most important things for this moment in time in our country. And sovereignty is a recognition of our sacredness from birthright, and that we have freedom and liberation that cannot be granted to us by anyone else. It is. And there's responsibility with that. It is important for me in my sovereignty to respect yours. It's important for me in my sovereignty to be clear about how I engage in the world. And there comes a responsibility about greater consciousness. So much of what happens in our discord is an unconscious lashing out from a wounded place that people are not aware of. We just have a lot of wounded humans walking around that don't love themselves fully, that think the world's out against them. And the extent to which we can create an opportunity or find the teachers who can help us go inward to better understand ourselves and the strength of the inner wisdom that we have, to then reflect that out into the world and our external actions, is really the alchemy of what I'm doing at the We Are One Alliance.
So it's how does that then get scaled up? From the individual to the community, from the community to the body politic, you know, at the state level, the national level, the international level, mm-hmm. Scaling it up from, you know, an individual up the ladder is, it's complicated.
It is, and it's also, ripple effects are a very real thing. Think about what someone's random act of kindness can mean to shifting how you show up in your day. That's just one little change. And what I'm offering through this platform, this new multimedia portal at the We Are One Alliance, is interaction with programming, with online courses, with a private online membership community where we do soulful challenges every month to help build the muscle memory of these kinds of skills. We will be doing Soul Force Sundays, bringing people together every Sunday afternoon for connection and reflection on what's going on that week and how we want to put ourselves forward. While we're wondering what it is we can do in this completely unexpected moment where all of our democratic norms are being jostled, you know, who ever dreamed from our founding fathers that the checks and balances within our government system would someday fail because one of the branches would cede its control willingly to the executive branch? we always believed in our founding that because we had overthrown a king and a dictatorship and created a democracy, that these checks and balances existed in a way that would always protect against this current moment. I don't think that those who are concerned about the demise of democracy right now are just sitting around wringing their hands. It's a legitimate question on what are the opportunities for response in this moment. And as we are gaining more clarity about that, what we absolutely know is that the stronger we can come into our own sense of clarity on how we show up in the world, the better capable we will be to answer the call when the moment is right. And I'm willing to be a leader that will be among those helping to call out when it's our time.
And speaking of time, we're going to take time to take a little quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk more about it. We have an email from Kyle who has some questions about it. Heather Mazier is the creator of the We Are One Alliance. You can join us on the other side of a quick break, 410-662-8780, or email midday@wipr.org. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.
You're listening to Midday on 88.1 WIPR.
And welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, coming up on the show tomorrow, healthcare advocate Vincent DeMarco joins me to talk about what expanded authority of the Maryland Prescription Drug Affordability Board will mean for consumers. Plus, we'll have tips on what to read this summer from Emma Snyder of the Ivy Bookshop and Julia Fleischaker of Greedy Reads. So that's on the way tomorrow. If you've just joined us today, my guest is Heather Mazier, a former member of the Maryland House of Delegates and a Democratic candidate for governor and the House of Representatives. We're talking about a newly reframed organization she's launching today called the We Are One Alliance. 410-662-8780 to join our conversation. If you want to send an email, that's fine too, midday@wipr.org. So, Heather, we do have an email from Kyle who says, no offense, but this all sounds pretty naive. There's a percentage of the population who are never going to tune out Fox News or Facebook News or whatever cult-like programming system that they are plugged into. There's also a disconnect between being able to socialize and raw power grabs. I'm sure the parties at Mar-a-Lago are great, but if Trump appoints himself dictator for life, singing kumbaya isn't the answer. So people question whether or not, as a strategy, this kind of openness is the most effective strategy, or whether, you know, the fight fire with fire impulse should be, employed. How do you answer, Kyle?
A wise, strong, and open heart is not a weakness. It is our greatest strength. Our power exists in the pause between stimulus and response. And our culture doesn't teach us these things. Our culture teaches us that, as you mentioned, fight fire with fire and just get in there and start arguing and being aggressive, even all the way up the chain to violence. What has that gotten us? I appreciate and understand how someone who isn't practiced in these skills can come at it and presume that there is a naivety there. But I have 15 years of practice under my belt using these skills, and they work. And I am not at all thinking that the work of the We Are One Alliance is something everyone is going to want to engage with. But for those that it speaks to, they will find a home here that they can connect with others, grow their skills, and learn how to take effective action in these chaotic times.
The issue often comes down to, as I've had these conversations for years now on this show and other places, the lack of being able to stipulate to the facts. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're coming at an issue or a conversation where there are two completely different belief systems, is it important to align, you know, to figure out how those belief systems might be aligned at least partially before you can move ahead and
no,
go to the next step?
No, because just focusing on the facts and the arguments about the details is a mind-centered approach. They matter. Facts matter. I'm not saying that it's not important for us to be factually based in what it is that we are advocating. But I'm talking about peeling back to a place before you even get to that. Let me give another example. When I served in the legislature, I developed a friendship with the unlikeliest of collaborators, Delegate Mike Smeagol, the former and now late Delegate Mike Smeagol, Republican from Cecil County. Mike, smiling down on me right now, would totally agree with me calling him bombastic and aggressive. He was the head of the Tea Party caucus and the pro-life caucus, and he was the guy that could really want to take you down with an argument. But I also saw in him a big heart. And as we developed a friendship and a relationship over time, that connection changed his own willingness to think about what facts in certain ways were. I went to him to talk about how he and I could work together on legislation that would expand family planning in the state of Maryland, and that it would be good for the budget, it would be good for infant mortality rates, and for his concern and purposes would have an impact on lowering the abortion rate in the state. I shared with him statistics from the Alan Guttmacher Institute that ran through all of that data related to the abortion numbers. And he agreed to do this legislation with me, and he looked me straight in the face and said, "If anyone asks you why it is I'm willing to do this with you, it's because we have a friendship and I trust you. I trust that this information that you are giving me is accurate." And so the finger pointing and the arguing that has taken place now, where there are alternative views of the facts, has happened because we've eroded a lack of connection and no trust between each other to be able to look at each other's facts and have discernment and review sources and come to a consensus. The whole mess that we are in is from the starting point of our lack of connection and our willingness to see everyone in our circle of humanity as an extension of who you are, me, I am you. Ubuntu, in the African philosophy, is that I am human because you are. I cannot exist without you. We are one. And until we get back to that place, we're never going to solve all the rest of it. Do we want the current situation to continue to escalate beyond control? Or do we want to get back to the building block of how we repair and restore a connection to each other, because that's the way this gets fixed?
And I should make clear, because you make it clear, that this is not a preamble to another political campaign for you.
No.
This is not a warm. Some people publish books when they're going to run for office. Other people come up with, you know, beautiful websites. But that's not what this is about.
No. No. I loved both of the campaigns that I ran for governor in 2014, for Congress in 2022, purposefully chosen as uphill battles because that's kind of in my constitution. I don't need to be elected to a position to serve. And I think that in the crisis of the moment we have right now, as much as I love policymaking and boy, can I write a great 34-page economic plan for the first congressional district, people aren't paying attention to
that. You started as a staffer on the Hill.
I did. Yeah, right. I did. And I love that work. And it's still meaningful. And it's not right now what is necessary to address the challenges of our times. I really believe that the wisdom, the teachings, the insight that I have gained in the 25 years of public service is being called forth in this particular way for this particular moment, and I'm very excited about it.
You mentioned Africa a couple minutes ago, and there's an African component to this as well. You spend a lot of time in Zimbabwe in particular. So you know, you've got the Soul Force politics, you've got the courses that you're offering, you've got the gardens and the
Operation Thriving Acres for veterans for and first responders.
Veterans and first responders, and it's a therapeutic endeavor. And now there's this African dimension. There's the Sunday, gathering dimensions. Are these disparate? How are they all related? I mean, this doesn't seem like a normal, run-of-the-mill political organization, to be sure, which would only concentrate on the Soul Force politics part of it and the issues and all that stuff.
Yeah.
How are these four different seemingly disparate things connected? Mm.
Yeah. The We Are One Alliance envisions a world where politics are soulful, where land is healing, where inner wisdom is honored, and where visionary dreams are brought forth into creation. And we talked about Soul Force politics, Operation Thriving Acres. Inward Expeditions is the program that we are taking groups of women to Costa Rica to do a deeper dive on all of these skill sets, and with a team of amazing facilitators. And then the Sacred Dreams Project grew from a relationship that I created, have benefited from, with Dr. Tara I. Trent. She is a woman from Zimbabwe who was a childhood bride, and she was denied an education. And yet, when she was asked in her 20s, after she already had 5 children, what her dreams were, she didn't hesitate to say, I'm going to go to America. I'm going to get a bachelor's, a master's, and a PhD. This is a woman who had no education. And through incredible perseverance and an amazing story you can learn in essays that I've written and on our Sacred Dreams Project website page, she did fulfill all of those dreams. She lands herself on the Oprah Winfrey Show not once but twice. Oprah declares her her all-time favorite guest. And Oprah gave $1.5 million to help her build a school in her community where boys and girls and her dream of equity and education could come forward. Since then, Terai has taken on trying to help improve the lives of children at as many as 12 schools in her region. And when I met her, only 4 of the schools had access to water. And my whole life, one of my sacred dreams is to expand clean water access to as many people as possible. And we came together, we collaborated, raised a bunch of money, and brought people with me to Zimbabwe, what I thought would be a one-time venture to build these wells, dig gardens, have drip irrigation lines for sustainable agricultural practices.
In conjunction with schools, too.
In conjunction with the schools. And it wasn't just something where we went to Africa and we gave something. In the true spirit of Ubuntu, I received more than I ever gave there. And I write about this on Substack. I just released an essay on Friday, and it's on our Sacred Dreams website page as well. But because of the experience and the desire to keep going and the impact it made on the people we took with us on this delegation, we're turning it into a biannual trip where people can go with us, where we're continuing to raise money for the wells, going to do the physical labor, and having teachings and workshops from me and Dr. Trent while we're there in Zimbabwe together.
And so you have this website, we've got to finish up here. You have this website, but the website really is kind of a portal for getting involved in any of the ways that resonate with you individually.
Yes, wearewonealliance.org. You can find out about every one of the programs there. It's almost like 7 websites inside of one, because every program has its own website. And then we have the community offerings, an online membership community. We have soulful challenges that people can take up. In June, we're going to do a 21-day gratitude challenge where you get a prompt and you get to write your answers and engage. Think of it as social media without influencers, ads, algorithms, trolls, all the junk. This is a curated community of people who in a time when everyone's looking for a little bit of ease in connection and growth and having skills to change this world for the better. This is the place you can come.
Heather Mazier will have a link to the We Are One Alliance website at WIPR.org/midday as well. Good luck with this venture, Heather. I appreciate it. And let's not make it such a long time next time between visits.
We'd love to come back and talk about our progress. Thank you so much.
Terrific. And up next, the British arts curator Echo Eschen tells us about the new exhibition at the Baltimore Museum of Art called Black Earth Rising, Colonialism and Climate Change in Contemporary Art. Echo Eschen joins me after a quick break. Stick around. I'm Tom Hall.
You're listening to Midday on 88.1 WIPR.